Hi, everyone. This is John Paul, and you are listening to the Exploring EOS podcast. Today, we have an interesting interview with Edgar Fernandez of EOS Costa Rica. And I just want to mention before we get into it that this is not necessarily an endorsement by me or by the Exploring EOS podcast, but rather just a way to learn more about this particular block producer candidate, EOS Costa Rica, and also to learn more about block producers in general and just the whole EOS ecosystem. So I hope you will listen and enjoy, and you know, with any block producer, be sure you do your own research and learn more before you cast your vote. Now on to the show. Edgar, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John Paul. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Could you just give us a little bit of a background on yourself and EOS Costa Rica and how this came to be?
Sure, of course. Well, my name is Edgar Fernandez. I'm originally from Costa Rica. Most of my official career had been on Wall Street for about 10 years. I did 7 years at Barclays and then 3 years at Bank of America Merrill Lynch. And in about 2013, 2014, I started getting more involved with our family-run business out of Costa Rica, Edania, that provided hosting, co-location, and dedicated servers out of Costa Rica, out of our data center in Costa Rica. And in about 2013, late 2013, we started having some issues with credit card transactions and fraud. Being that our business was built on the internet and our clients were global, we were receiving payments from all over the world. And we did have some issues with credit card fraud or expensive bank wires. And that's when we first got introduced to cryptocurrency. And it was really a use case for our business.
Yeah.
And when we first got to understand Bitcoin, we realized that some of our clients preferred to pay us in cryptocurrency for their hosting services. And we became the first company to accept cryptocurrency in Costa Rica.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then since then, we really realized that this was a transformative technology, and that the more and more we looked into it, the more we realized that this was just not a solution for a specific use case, but a way that we could pivot our company and our efforts towards this idea of Node as a service platform. And we started getting into nodes. So we were the first full BTC node in Costa Rica, where we had two. We thought it was important to have that in Costa Rica.
Cool.
And then we started getting into incentivized nodes as we moved into proof of stake models and consensus mechanisms. And we then got more and more into Dan Larimer's projects. We were a witness for Steemit for a while, and we've been involved in BitShares since its inception. And that was just a natural transition for us into EOS, his next project in EOS. And we had the experience hosting nodes, and we had the infrastructure set up. So it was a smooth transition into becoming a block producer. It really fit well with one, our mission statement and our philosophy in general, and two, with the business that we were already involved. We had already been hosting nodes for close to 4 years. But that's just a little bit background of how we got involved.
Okay, cool. Very nice. That's good to hear you have a lot of experience. I remember I was on the EOS Go, one of the live streams for the launch party. And I think it was EOS Argentina on there was saying, oh man, you know, talking, I don't think it was to you guys. It might've been, I think it was somebody else. And he was saying, you know, I really appreciate that there's a learning curve here, and that people coming in having been a witness for Steem or BitShares or something, like, kind of have a bit of a head start. It's not just like as easy to start from nothing. So that's cool to hear that you have that background of having done this before.
Like I said, it was a natural transition. And we're a big fans of Dan Larimer's work, and EOS just was, again, a natural fit for us. So we're really excited to be able to provide the EOS platform with a strong geographical and political diversity by running our servers from Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. So I think this has been a big undertaking for us, and we're excited as we get closer to launch.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit more about Costa Rica and what might be beneficial or unique about being there? Because I know, to me, geographical diversity in block producers is very important. I think that's extremely important. You know, we don't want them all to be in China or in the US. So can you just talk about why Costa Rica is unique?
Sure. Glad to. That's actually our favorite topic. We base our entire campaign about where we are located and how we provide a kind of a unique area for the EOS network. So I'd start just with geographically. We're in the middle of two great continents up to the north and to the south. And we're right smack in the middle of two oceans, right, with the Pacific, within the Caribbean Sea and the Atlantic. So we're just geographically located in a place that can access users of future dApps, hopefully with the low latency going down to South America and to North America. We have three fiber optic connections that reach Costa Rica on both the Pacific and the Caribbean coasts through three submarine cables that provide the majority of the bandwidth to Costa Rica. So we have three internet backbones that can provide real-time failover and redundancy at our facility based out of San Jose. So that's one thing that I think is important. Just keeping the country aside, just the simple location of where we are and the access to internet infrastructure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people in the US thinking of that part of the world might kind of have a knee jerk reaction thinking, oh, they probably don't really have the best infrastructure. But that's really good to hear. You got three fiber connections coming right into there. So that's pretty cool.
Right. And these are direct connections to all the big upstream carriers, Columbus, Sprint, all level three, XO Communications, which are the large kind of internet providers in and out of that continent. So it's been vital to our business, and I think it's a step apart from maybe some other locations in other parts of the world.
Very nice. Can you take a minute to just, especially since you've been involved in Steam and BitShares, could you talk a little bit about what a block producer actually is, just for anybody who's new to EOS so they can have a little more background?
Sure. Block producers, it comes from the designated proof of stake. So they're voted in by token holders. So the community itself gets to decide what companies or what people or what infrastructure is being used to maintain the network. And that by maintain, I mean write blocks and validate transactions. So block producers are, in a sense, the custodians of the network. They serve as a witness and also as a computational power to write transactions and verify transactions. So in a sense, the block producer is the person that says, okay, what happened? When did it happen? And writes it on the blockchain. And to do this, you need a CPU power and you need a RAM and storage. So you need computer resources to put at the disposal of the blockchain. Now, block producers in general are separated by different unique characteristics that they bring to the table. We've already talked about one, which is geographical diversity, political stability and where they are, connection and redundancy in terms of connection to internet, whether they bring experience already hosting nodes in the past or with other blockchains, security experts, community engagement, right? I mean, a lot of block producers have focused, including ourselves, on spreading the word about EOS. So in a sense, not only are we custodians of the network and its main maintainers in terms of writing and verifying transactions, but we're also advocates, and we're meant to be vocal about EOS and trying to support the development of different applications and different ideas with entrepreneurs, engineers, artists, anybody that wants to create an idea. You know, block producers are there to also provide some support for the development of the network.
So how does EOS Costa Rica plan to do that?
Sure. And jump off, I can. I would probably take a step back and continue to talk about Costa Rica specifically, not only just its network redundancy, which I talked about, but just to answer your previous question.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Costa Rica also has, besides having excellent infrastructure, a very stable political framework. It's the longest lasting democracy in Central America. We have about 4.9 million people in the country. We have no army since 1949, so there's no active army. And we have a very clear legal jurisdiction that we believe is perfect for the censorship-resistant network features of the future EOS network. The country's been known for peace and liberty. These have been, you know, internationally recognized and sort of the cornerstones of the pride of the country. And I think that has permeated through our campaign and really resonated with the principles and ideals that the EOS community strives for. So that's important to kind of point out. You know, in terms of political stability, we're rated by the World Bank right behind Uruguay with a score of like 63 out of 100. To put that in perspective, Mexico is at 17. Brazil's at 35.
Wow.
So in terms of our political stability, our democracy, the strength of our institutions, and the ideals of democracy and freedom are very much prominent in Costa Rican and Costa Rican culture.
Very cool. That's great to hear. And do you have any examples of, like, what about the legal framework or the stability, like, really gives you the confidence that this will help with the censorship resistance?
Yeah. And it's kind of an interesting story as well. I mean, one we've never had, you know, we haven't had any recent coups or, you know, violent strife or, you know, elections that were deemed to be questionable, anything like that, that maybe could be associated with other times in history or other countries in Latin America. So Costa Rica has been stable from that sense. And we've never had a really big controlling party or kind of threats to our democracy. So that's one thing that I'll mention. But not only for me talking about Costa Rica, but actually with actions of companies that have moved down to Costa Rica, high-tech companies, starting in the 1990s, Intel moved one of their biggest plants on this side and in this hemisphere to Costa Rica to build microchips. So for the last 20 years, I would say, you know, microchips were one of our biggest, if not our biggest export, which has brought this sort of nice platform or location for other huge companies to come and become relevant in the tech scene. So now we have HP, we have IBM, we have Amazon that has a big center down in Costa Rica, Oracle as well. Big names in tech that have moved down to Costa Rica, one because of that stable political framework that I mentioned, and it's flexible, well, not flexible, but accommodating corporate structure. But two, because of the high level of education. Costa Rica has one of the highest literacy rates, even higher than the United States, one of the highest in Latin America and higher than the United States. And a high level of English and education has made it kind of a breeding ground for the nearshore movement of large Fortune 500 companies.
Very cool. This is cool. I'm learning a lot about Costa Rica here. Very interesting.
And again, I think our campaign is hand in hand with our country. So a lot of the topics that I'm discussing, you know, are about Costa Rica, but they're relevant to EOS Costa Rica and what we're trying to achieve. And another point that I'll mention is Costa Rica has been producing more than 90% of its energy from renewable resources. So, and also has set a goal to be carbon neutral by 2030. And that's something that's resonated with us in saying, you know, our server capacity should be run by renewable clean energy. Mostly hydroelectric is what Costa Rica has to offer. So that's just another aspect of our campaign and of Costa Rica that's interesting to note, and maybe some of your listeners aren't aware that Costa Rica has been leading the way.
Sounds good. So what, back to my previous question, what kind of things, you mentioned like kind of reinvesting back into the EOS community, what kind of things does EOS Costa Rica plan to do in that regard?
Right. No, and that's a valid question. Actually, it's not what we plan to do. It's what we've been doing. And I think regardless of whether we're elected or not, we're going to continue to do that. And that's community engagement, which means planning meetups and getting in front of policymakers, developers, business and enterprise to really increase the awareness of this technology. I think at least in Costa Rica right now, there might be some awareness in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies that are used for the exchange of value or means of exchange. But we're really just starting with what is the platform level, the blockchain 3.0 level of awareness. And just yesterday we hosted a meetup, and we'll be kind of posting this on our social platform, where we had over 100 people speaking specifically about what is blockchain, what is EOS, what is a block producer, and why we think that EOS Costa Rica makes sense in terms of a block producer. So that's one thing we've been focusing on, which is community engagement. Two, we have a lead OSS or open source software developer on our team. Already thinking about some applications that we can provide to the community, mostly for monitoring the blockchain.
Okay.
So it's sort of like an Ether scan or a block explorer that we've seen with Bitcoin and Ethereum. Mm-hmm. And just general monitors for the health, I think, would be great for the community to have. So those are a couple of our ideas that we've been doing. So one, community engagement and awareness, and two, kind of developer engagement and moving them from idea to funding and then execution. So in a way, you are incubating these ideas and trying your best to convince as many people that they, if they have an idea for an application, that EOS is a platform that they should consider. And we're willing to help them navigate through how to do that.
Very cool. Yeah, it's exciting because a lot of block producers are doing exactly what you're talking about, trying to reinvest in, you know, take some of what they earn as a block producer and reinvest it in EOS as a whole. And not only block producers, but also Block One, you know, they've announced they're going to be investing a whole lot of money into distributed applications and things to grow the whole EOS ecosystem. And I expect it to be really kind of a big virtuous cycle you know, just snowball and really build up momentum and users and getting people to know about it. You know, it kind of feels like sometimes with EOS or other non-Bitcoin projects that it seems like it's such a long road to getting to that kind of Bitcoin. Like at this point, a lot of people have heard of Bitcoin. And almost nobody's heard of EOS. I tell them, you know, I'm doing this podcast on EOS. And they're like, what? What's that? Oh, it's like Bitcoin? Okay. Yeah. And so we have a long way to go, but I think a lot of this reinvestment will really accelerate it faster right. than a lot of other projects. So it's pretty exciting to me. I have a lot of things I love about EOS, but what for you personally, what are you excited about with EOS?
I think just the what Dan Larimer calls about radical transparency and security by openness. I'm really excited to see how that kind of shakes out. I mean, we're really witnessing the first time that a blockchain has come to be as EOS is. And I'm excited to see all that hard work from these hundreds of people all across the world in different time zones really come to fruition. And again, trying to make our economies, our communities, our government, more transparent. And the elimination of that kind of what started with Bitcoin, right? This elimination of this trusted third party, not only of your money, but also of your data, your identity, your personality, right? What we've seen with social media and different platforms. So I'm excited to see that on a decentralized sort of framework, right? It's kind of the ideal of the internet that if we had a do-over, we'd probably do it decentralized first, right? So I'm excited to see, you know, all these different ideas that are going to be built on the EOS platform, and you know, the quote that I heard from Mr. Bloomer over there at Block One was, you know, if you're able to create and maintain your own website, you should be able to create and maintain your own decentralized application. And that's what EOS really provides. And I'm just excited to see, you know, scrolling through a Apple Store type of dApp platform and seeing all these different ideas and all these different solutions to commerce just general collaboration coming and being on EOS and then saying, wait a minute, I get paid for participating in this community, for example. So a way to earn cryptocurrency as well, kind of what we've seen with Steemit in the beta form. That's going to be really interesting to see what social media is like decentralized.
Yeah. I'm super excited about that as well. It's, you know, there are all these applications coming out. Most of them are very, very early, you know, kind of far from having a product yet to go on to the EOS blockchain. But it's really exciting that this is just, you know, the very beginning, and there are going to be so many more and so many that we haven't even thought of, you know, like this whole type of model. Like on a previous podcast, I was talking about the airdrops and how, and maybe you have a little more insight to this, cause I don't know that much about this kind of background, but with, like the ICOs and stuff, part of why that took off is that there wasn't as much regulation. Right. But now the regulators are kind of cracking down. And so an airdrop is potentially kind of a way to get around regulation, because like you're just giving away tokens for free. You're not selling anything. So there's no risk really to the investor. So there's no need for the SEC or whoever to come in and try to protect the investor, because it was given for free, right? So just with that model, like that's like turning things kind of on its head, and it's a brand new thing nobody's really done or thought of before. I think there are going to be a lot of applications that come out that are just like, whoa, completely.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Completely something that was not possible before, that we could not have conceived of before. Kind of like the internet, you know, there's so many things that we use on the internet that were something we just couldn't really conceive of just, you know, a couple decades ago. So
it is, it allows applications to access a user base close to immediately, right? And to have awareness immediately. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be, you know, big life-changing things, right? I mean, you know, a lot of people are excited, like I mentioned, about social media platforms that are based on EOS and decentralized, or ride-sharing apps where you pay the driver directly and you're just kind of using the application to meet, which are kind of big, kind of life-changing things where everybody can sort of relate to, be like, wow, that'd be great. Or communication platforms, right? But sometimes, like for us, it could be small things as well, right? I mean, we're thinking about just building a dApp for meetups, right? So decentralized meetups where you can, you know, pay for events or sign up for events and keep up with communities, and still own your data, right? I think that would be something that can help us immediately, right, to build our own EOS community. And also kind of practice what we preach, right? So that's one thing I'm excited about, just kind of those small tasks things. And I think builders really like to focus on small tasks and then build from there. And I think that's how you build strong and responsible software. It's just starting small and sort of layering up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely some exciting times. Let's see. I was looking at your website and looking at some of the technical side of things, the tech specs, and it looks like you're going to be, you know, pretty solid on the technical side of your servers and whatnot. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. And I wish I had my tech guy on me as well. He put together a technical roadmap, which you could check out at our website as well. One thing that we, you know, we've talked a lot about community engagement and what we're doing. One thing that I think we sets us apart a little bit is that's important, but it's not the number one priority right now for us. Right now, the number one priority is to provide the most robust, secure infrastructure for the EOS network. If we can't do that, none of the community engagement, none of the sponsoring of developers or dApps really matters unless we make sure that is our number one priority. So that's one thing that I think is important to mention. And then number two, we don't designate our block producer to a cloud service or a third party. We think it's extremely important to know who has full control of your hardware, to know that your block producer is 100% independent, and hopefully bare metal servers, which is what we provide, right? We're not using any AWS or Zorin, any other, you know, third party provider. We think that our configuration is built to be 100% bare metal servers located entirely in Costa Rica. And everything from our domain to our DNS to our IP addresses, all our servers will be 100% Costa Rican and in our control. That's a little different than some approaches other BPs have taken. We're open to those. We understand the pros and cons of using cloud-based services where you can kind of open and close the faucet as more resources are needed. But I think independence and control of our hardware. And if we're really going through a DPoS, right, a designated proof of stake, and we've been given that responsibility from token holders to be the custodians of the network, we think it's just of the utmost importance to be in control of that and not outsource that to another provider. So we're going to have our full node based in our data center in San Jose, Costa Rica. And then we'd be moving into two more full nodes in Costa Rica at different data centers. So as important it is to have geographical diversity around the globe, we kind of want to replicate that even in Costa Rica. So we want to diversify by having block producers in three different data centers inside Costa Rica and connecting those through fiber optic cable. And at the same time, we want to scale out to the rest of Central America. So we actually have a trip planned to go to Panama in the first week of July. We're reaching out to the community there. And we want to put a, at first, just a non-producing node. And the difference there is a block producer would actually write the blocks, while a non-producing node just can query the blockchain. And we think it's important to improve latency by having other nodes that are not producing that can just specifically handle queries from different dApps. And we think Panama would be a great kind of bridge down to South America for any dApps that are querying the blockchain. So that's in a nutshell sort of our hardware characteristics and our vision of how we're going to scale out.
Mm-hmm. As we're recording this, we're right in the middle of the launch of the EOS blockchain. And there are some block producers who are like really heavy in the launch process, like getting the blockchain launched. And then there are some block producers who are like just making sure they're ready so that when it's launched, that they're kind of ready to go. Which category is EOS Costa Rica in right now?
We have taken the position that this is a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. We're not in kind of getting caught up to have the most exposure at first or be, you know, given the most credit. So we've kind of taken a step back and made sure that our infrastructure is as secure and as powerful as we can possibly provide. Making sure that's configured, making sure that our scripts are independent, and that we do our own validation. That's our number one priority, right? Is focusing on our infrastructure first.
Cool. Okay.
We've chosen to stay somewhat neutral in a lot of the different ideas put forth for launch. We haven't kind of sided with one camp or the other. And we're just open to, you know, wherever the community decides. And I know that there's been, you know, calls for unity, and we support that. We've, you know, pledged to support the Constitution and the block producer agreement. You know, we think we can provide other aspects to EOS blockchain, not necessarily just the launch. Yeah.
And I want to clarify just the way I asked that, I'm not sure it could have sounded like, oh, you know, that's a bad thing to be kind of not part of the launch, but that's a, you know, there are only so many people who can do the launch. Otherwise it's just too many cooks in the kitchen. And, you know, I think it's a wise decision for some block producers to say, hey, we're going to let some other people run with this and get it launched, and we're going to be completely ready and invest in some other things. Just to make that clear that most block producers are not the ones launching it. They're, to my knowledge, right? It's a smaller couple of groups that are kind of figuring all that out and testing and everything. So
that's right. And you know, it's a thankless job, really, to be in the Genesis launch. It's a lot of work, and I think the community of block producers have kind of really come together, and some have really kind of stepped up to the plate because of their specific knowledge or because of their emphasis on security and how to launch it. So, you don't get a reward to do that, right? To be the first.
Right.
And so that's why I mentioned it's thankless. So I don't want to diminish that. I think it's an amazing role and someone has to take it. But there's a lot of things happen behind the scenes, and that's a great thing about EOS as well, is everybody gets to validate the software, right? It's open source. Everybody can go into that GitHub and look at it and look at the software that's going to be running. And I think a lot of the other block producers that maybe not have not been actively involved in the launch have been testing, providing feedback on different test nets, have been validating the snapshot itself for their own well-being and or peace of mind, and have been ready at a moment's notice, right? It's as you know, the launch is it's a complex endeavor, and block producers and candidates have to be ready to act at any moment, right? It's not something we can switch off. If there's a call or there's new information out or new version that's going to be used and we need to upload to our servers to try in the testnet and debug, you have to be ready. So that's what we've been concentrating on, keeping our heads down, doing the work, being in our data center, making sure that our software is the best, most updated, and most secure. And just excited to plug it in and try and produce blocks from Costa Rica, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, that's really exciting. And I'm just, I don't know. I'm thankful to all the block producers, everybody involved. I know this whole thing is like a big effort, and it's not like Bitcoin where you just kind of install the software and run it, right? It's right. Much more complicated than that. And so it's kind of driving me crazy as somebody watching the situation and then also reading like the crypto news where, you know, this is taking a while, and it's taking a while because I think the block producers are doing a really careful, good job of it. But right. Some of the news, right. I don't know if you've followed this, you probably don't have time, but like, it's kind of being portrayed as, oh, well, what's the problem? Like, they're being held back by all these, you know, issues. And it's not really that there are all these issues. It's more that, you can correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm wrong, but it appears to be more that it's more from an abundance of caution and of really trying to work together with people all over the world.
Yeah, I would echo that. I mean, not only just the time zone difference and somewhat the language barrier sometimes, which we've been able to overcome, it's really triple and quadruple checking. When you're the custodian of the network and you're now in charge to bring in this newborn baby right out of the ICU, you know, sometimes maybe you want to wait that extra day and that extra 2 days. To triple and double and quadruple check before you kind of throw it out to the world. And that's kind of the approach we've taken. So we've been supportive about, you know, taking as much time as it needs, right? To make sure that, you know, wallets are going to be secure, that people aren't going to have to, you know, that no money's going to be lost, or tokens are going to be lost, or anything like that. That we're not going to have a blockchain that freezes, that needs to fork. And at the end of the day, right, I mean, a year from now, are we going to remember that the EOS blockchain launched 1 or 2 days after the general consensus was when it was going to launch? Or are we going to remember that we had a successful and safe, secure launch? And I think it's going to be the latter.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I have one last question, and that is, where can people go to follow what you're doing and find out more about EOS Costa Rica?
Of course. EOSCostaRica.io. There you can have access to all our Steemit, our Twitter, and the general content that we post, like the technical roadmap that I mentioned today, and the different value propositions that we're going to EOS. So I'll mention that it's a one-stop shop, and hopefully you can go learn and consider us as a block producer candidate.
The content of the Exploring EOS show, videos, and website are for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, legal, or professional advice of any kind. You should not take action on any information provided without first consulting a professional advisor and doing your own due diligence. Investing in cryptocurrencies is risky. Please seek professional help.